Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Well, if you haven't heard already, my guest today, I'm so excited. This is one of my exciting. The Gaffigans. I'm not saying only the husband. I'm saying Jeannie. I'm going to actually say it. Jeannie and Jim Gaffigan are here.
Oh, thank you.
Right. Jeannie and Jim Gaffigan. Jeannie Noth.
Yes. That's correct pronunciation, too. That's amazing.
Thank you. And Jim Gaffigan.
That's correct.
Thank you, guys, so much. I love you guys. And I like literally have so much I want to talk to you about, but I got it. All right. The thing that I love about you guys. All right. I feel like you are like Bill and Hillary of television.
So who's he sleeping with?
Hillary.
Well, Bill with no libido.
Great.
Yeah.
And Hillary. Do you like Hillary? Do you like Hillary? I'm not saying that you're those people. I'm saying you're a powerhouse. You're a powerhouse.
That's great.
So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I don't think people realize Jeannie's contribution to the Jim Gaffigan brand. And that's why I wanted both. Now, I interviewed Jim at the 92nd Street Y, and that was, thank you for doing that. It was great. But Jeannie, I don't think people know how accomplished you are. And I don't think they realize that Jim is not funny without you. Before he met you in the 90s, when he used to work at the clubs, he sucked. He bombed every night. He was all, I mean, he did that Letterman set in 93.
Right.
But that was only because he was from Indiana.
And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. You came along and his life. So first of all, I don't think people, everyone knows Jim Gaffigan. He's got 80 kids. It's like, you're like the Nice Duggars.
Yeah.
Right. But Jeannie, just so everyone knows, Jeannie is the eldest of like 12 children. How many? 10?
Nine.
Yeah. All right, I was close. The eldest of 9 children. So right there, we got like balls.
Yeah.
I'm so afraid of saying like, God damn, I know you're very Catholic and I'm very Jewish, but.
No, I have balls. It's true.
All right, good. And I do think that we have a lot in common because I am a practicing Jew and you guys are practicing Catholics.
Yeah.
And I grew up next to Rosemary Antonelli, the Antonellis and the DeSavinos. And my mother would send mass cards and I went to church. I mean, like, I grew up in a Catholic Jewish neighborhood.
I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood.
You see?
Yeah.
Oh, God, Jeannie. But you grew up in Ontario, correct?
No, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee,
yeah,
right.
But you went to right near like
Ontario.
A temple.
Yeah. So you grew up in Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I read something about Ontario. But you're the daughter of a TV and film critic and were surrounded by theater.
Oh, my God, you did research about
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were surrounded by performers and your father was a critic, which mm-hmm. God only, but was he critical of you guys?
Yeah.
He was?
Yes, but it was really interesting to, you know, go to all the stuff he would review. And I was always like, you got to be nicer.
Right,
and he was
right.
That's not my job.
But did you ever say, I don't agree with this point you're making? Like, did you read his reviews?
Yeah.
And did you ever say, Dad, I don't think that's true?
Well, yeah, because I liked everything.
Right.
You know, I didn't see the nuances that he did. I wasn't as educated.
Do you see them now?
Yeah, I do. But I also think I also critique my dad because he's reviewing, you know, local theater, which is great.
Right.
As if it's a Broadway show.
Right.
Hmm.
But that's
very
great.
High standards.
But he did TV and film, too.
He did TV and film, but he also did theater,
right.
Which is my exposure to
so
theater.
Was he beloved or hated?
Both. But he says that people now come back to him and say, you know, you wrote something very specific about me in 1975, and it always stuck with me, and
you know,
it changed them for the better.
Right.
He has the good stories.
When I did 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, which is based on interviews with Jewish mothers. So that ran a long time, and it's actually going to be 10 years old next year, and people want to book again. But anyway, when I did it for the first time, it was called God Doesn't Pay Rent Here, because one of the women who had lost her son, she was very religious, and she didn't internally believe. She had a new notion of God and you know, her privacy and what she was going to share and being a part of this Orthodox community. And her last word was, you know, God may live here, but he doesn't pay the rent.
Mm.
And it stuck with me so much. And that was the name of the show. And when I did it in Seattle for the first time, it became a completely different show. The reviewer said, you know, a lot of it was character work, but her mother seems so hysterical and I don't understand why. And so we wrote a monologue about my mother, who lost her brother at, you know, she was 17 and he was 15, and the doorman of a building he was playing in front grabbed his jacket, was playing keep away. He went to grab his jacket and the doorman pushed him and he fell back and hit his head on the marble floor and died, right?
Oh my God.
And that monologue was added because of a critic, because it explained, you know, why she's hysterical and annoying but so lovable, you know what I mean? And so I don't read reviews, but I feel like a good critic can really, you know, turn something around. But do you read the reviews of the Jim Gaffigan show that should be the Jeannie Gaffigan show?
Well thank you, but you know, and I'll address that in a minute too, because I think that, you know,
I'm obviously kidding.
Jim is, I mean,
Jim's the vessel.
Like, my contribution to Jim's stand-up is, you know, peripheral to Jim's point of view. Like, it's not...
Right, in his voice.
Right, I write in his voice, and I do think I, you know, have a positive effect, but Jim is Jim, you know?
Jim is Jim, but, you know, I just want to tell people, you co-wrote a lot of Jim's... You met because you lived on the same block.
Mm-hmm.
Who made the first move?
Jim.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I was sure it was Jeannie.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, she probably was like, hey, you know, I always think of you as such a powerhouse. And you...
I kind of did, because I solicited money from him for a theater
on
company
our first
I was doing.
Date.
On the first date, I brought a brochure for him.
I love you. And you did stand-up for a while.
Yeah,
you tried it.
Yeah, I tried it.
You did sketch comedy.
I did mostly sketch comedy. Yeah, I loved
that. And you were getting a master's degree at Marquette.
Yeah.
And you said, I can't, all this academia, I can't, I want to just
go
do it.
Well, no, it's actually, I love school.
Because you weren't going to be a director.
Yeah, well, I was really fascinated by that. And at a certain point, because I, you know, had done a lot of theater, like as an actor.
Right.
And at a certain point, I got an offer to do an internship at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater.
Right.
And so it didn't really work with me doing what I was doing. So I went to do that. And I observed that they were importing the leads from New York.
Right.
And realized, you know, I need to get out of here.
I need to go to New York so I can come back to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Or if I want to go and do these kind
I want to do. Right. Instead
I don't want to be the intern.
Right. Hmm. So you created Shakespeare in the Playground.
That's okay.
And this is a group for kids. It was to bring Shakespeare to kids. I mean, you're so accomplished.
Thank you.
So you did the Shakespeare on the Playground.
Yes.
And it's still...
It's not still.
Oh, I thought it was still.
Because the thing is that in
Jim,
order for it to
shut
be still,
up! He gets so happy. No, it's not Judy.
he's so angry right now. I'm telling you.
Why am I angry?
I don't know.
But he is looking at you with love. I swear to God.
You're doing another podcast. I wasn't even invited.
He is attracted to you right now.
Yeah. No, I'm happy when
I just want people to know. But all right, so you did this.
So I did it, and there's a certain point where running a not-for-profit is a full-time job.
Right.
You have to get money from people all the time to keep it going.
Right.
And especially when you don't have like a huge staff.
Right.
Like I had like two people working for me, and they were like, "We need to get paid."
Right.
And what happened was that, you know, we got married and things started to, it was very close to, it was shortly after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right? So shortly after 9/11, the grant money was gone.
Right,
you know,
of course.
It was like,
everything was gone.
You were asking people for money and they were like, "We need you, can we have your blood? We need your blood."
Like, when you met Jim, did you know he was a stand-up?
I knew he was a stand-up. I didn't know his material.
And how many times did you walk by each other on the block before Jim was like, "Hey"?
Like six. But he was always like,
"Hey." How did you
do
it? How did you? Oh, you? He was?
Yeah, he was always like, "Hey."
And then what were you like? Ew.
Hey. No, I was just like, "Hey." I mean, it was like, it was the neighbor nod.
Right.
You know?
You had other intentions, James.
A couple times.
I had met her once with her younger sister.
Who was looking at colleges. She was a 16-year-old high school student.
Don't even tell me that you were attracted to
the
younger
sister.
No, I wasn't.
Well, we
look alike.
In fact, I said to her sister, I go, "Wait a minute, how old are you?"
He said to us, "How old are you?" And my sister answered 16. He said, "See you guys later."
Yeah, I was
because we looked alike. My sister had the same haircut.
Jeannie was like 17, 18.
On our first date, I thought she was like 21. And I was like,
"So you're still disgusting."
No, I'm not disgusting. No,
how old were you?
I was 59.
Like, all right,
He was 30, but he was just kind of like, you know, we're different. We're in different generations. I mean, the whole point was
you started that way. Hey, I know we're in different generations.
No, it was like because
I
sat
to take
down,
your clothes off,
and I was doing,
crosses generation.
No, but actually, he was so funny. When we had our first major exchange,
let's talk about the first major exchange.
Yeah.
First major.
So what
I
happened?
I said hi.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Then you go on the date, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was before that. There was a thing.
What?
What was that?
Well, because we had said hi and hi and hi, and there had been this thing with my sister, and we had a couple of, you know, you see people in your neighborhood for years.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you either nod at them or you ignore them.
Right.
And sometimes
right?
you nod at them and then you stop. You're like, "You know what? I'm tired of nodding."
Yeah,
right.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it. You give
so
it
who was tired of nodding?
So no one was tired of nodding. We literally like crashed into each other. Him on the way into the Korean deli.
Oh my God, it's
like a movie.
It was a movie.
I was holding chocolate and she had an open jar of
peanut butter. Oh, that's amazing. So, that would be... Wait a minute.
That's a campaign.
Mm-hmm. I know, idiot. Go.
So what happened is I said hi first this time. And he's kind of like has bad vision, so he... But I didn't know that at the time.
Is that why you said I look beautiful today? Go.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then he said, "Where do I know you from?" And I thought that was pretty arrogant because I was like, we pass each other all the time.
My God. Did you know where you knew her from?
No.
Because
I'm done with you. Now
he claims that it was because he had bad vision.
Oh, right.
That's I do have bad vision.
I said, what do you mean where you know me from? I mean, I was sick of it. You know, I was just like, well, what do you mean where you know me from? I'm like, I'm not going to give you a hi and you're going to say, where do I know you from?
Right, right.
So I said, we pass each other all the time. We've had, you know, we've exchanged, you know, you live on my block.
Right.
And I basically...
Were you bitchy?
I said he was
arrogant.
I would
say cunty, but you're here, so
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. I said he was arrogant. I said,
good.
I said,
and did that turn you on?
I said, are you that arrogant that you don't know who I am and we've passed each other? Like, we live on the same block.
And I laughed with a smirk.
See, no, if you had said that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to marry this person.
He said, you know, we're probably going to get married. That was the first thing he said to me.
No way.
Yeah.
Yep. And were you half serious, half joking?
And I said, ha. I said, ha.
All right, so you go on a date.
But it was funny.
All right, so you go on a date.
Yeah.
After some stalking, yes.
Okay, and then who makes the first move and how and where?
He did.
Where were you?
On the corner between my apartment and the lunch restaurant. That we went to lunch.
Okay.
I finally agreed to that. And so we went to lunch. Yeah. I brought the brochure, and I said, listen, I have this not-for-profit company.
Nice.
You're a performer. You should volunteer.
Well, because you also had a check.
No, but I know that there was a kid who was a little big and awkward, and you thought Jim would be a good mentor.
And he did. He wound up doing that.
And that was it. That's when you fell in love with him.
And that kid,
I mean,
how kids is what?
John Boehner.
That's great.
All right.
So,
I got a call. He was walking me home.
Yeah.
I got a call because my sound guys were in Queens at a guitar center, because there only was a guitar center in Queens,
right,
by the way,
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get an amplifier for a production we had, and I had paid for it. And they asked them to present the credit card. And they called me, and they said, we don't have the credit card. And I said, they don't need the credit card. I gave them the number.
Right.
And so I'm like, give me the manager. So I start talking to the manager on the phone. Jim's just standing there on the corner. And as I'm talking to the manager...
So this is cell phone time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
large cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. This was 2000.
Okay.
This was an expensive phone call.
Yeah.
Like about when cell phones, you'd only use it if it was an emergency.
Yeah. Right.
It was probably a flip phone.
Yeah.
And so he backing me up against a wall while I'm on the phone, yelling at a manager. And I'm like, all right, I'm like, I'll be right there. I'm like, I have to go to Queens. And I hang up, and Jim puts his two hands on the brick wall behind my head.
Hot!
Wraps me in.
Hot!
And I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, a strong woman needs a strong man in
her
life.
Oh, my God, Jim!
And kisses me on the lips.
Tongue?
I thought
tongue?
That sounds like sexual.
No
tongue. That sounds like sexual.
No, but
assault.
I mean,
that was
I could have made him in the crotch, but I didn't.
Wow.
I took the kiss.
And then did you have butterflies or anything?
I had butterflies. I did.
What'd
because
you have?
It was so bold. I couldn't believe
I love that.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, what happened?
I had IBS at the time.
You were shitting yourself.
I caused it.
That is so cool.
I elicit that reaction in a lot of men.
Okay.
IBS.
So here you are, and Jim at this point is, you know, pretty successful. Now, a lot of people don't know that Jim has a business background. Jim is, you went to graduate from Georgetown business school after a year at Purdue. And, you know, you're a son of bankers.
Yes.
So did you grow up wealthy?
I'd say if it was a suburb of New York.
It would be
very
Scarsdale?
Middle class. No.
Ardsley.
I don't know. No, it would be.
Nyack.
I don't know.
Nyack's pretty wealthy.
Nyack's wealthy, right?
So Rochelle.
New Rochelle. That's good.
Well, New Rochelle has like poor areas, right?
Yeah.
I would say no. It was.
But it's right next to Scarsdale.
It was middle class. Like my dad would have been like a banker. Like I don't know. I think about like money. Like we also
went to Europe as a child with six kids.
Oh, forget it. You're Scarsdale. I hate you. So.
I mean,
let's be honest.
Right.
And you went
to private school growing up. Did you go to private school?
No, I went to public.
Right, because you had 10 kids.
Nine.
Whatever. I don't know why I'm obsessed with the 10.
Duggars.
I actually have to tell you something, Jeannie. I'm your older sister. All right, go ahead. So,
I don't believe it.
Yeah. And so I feel, as a comic who's known you forever, you used to, I mean, this is so pathetic of my career. Jim and Geraldo used to open for me. I mean, you guys, and I was in LA
And I was on a sitcom, and then I got on another sitcom, and my ex, Sharon, you know, we decided we were going to have children, and she got pregnant, and it was either stay in L.A. or New York. And I wanted my kids more than my career, obviously, to grow up in New York and not in L.A. And look at me. I'm on a fucking podcast. I make no money. And I got the Gaffigans with 12 kids here and a huge apartment. Go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jamie just had his first appearance on David Letterman, which I didn't even know. Like, I wasn't in that world.
Right.
I wasn't in the comedy club
world. Right.
And you were maybe starting to headline. Or were you headlining already?
Yes, he started. Yeah. He was lower. I'm obnoxious, so I would always headline.
No.
Shut up.
But, like, not
this is like 2000.
Not in New York.
No, because I remember when you first got your first headline at Caroline.
Yeah, when was that?
Maybe it was in the early 2000s.
Yeah. That's the last time I headlined there. Go ahead. Go.
So, I mean, I don't feel like I was like, oh, this guy who's on TV, I'm going to date him. It was nothing like
that.
We
describe it as pre-Hot Pocket.
It's pre-Hot Pocket.
Okay. Did you both know? I mean, Jim's Catholic, but not as Catholic as you.
He was barely Catholic.
Okay. And was your family Catholic? You grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
Was that Catholic thing a deal breaker, Jeannie?
No, because I was, you know, dating guys who weren't Catholic.
Did you ever date a Jew?
Yeah.
And? Did you ever think I could marry a Jew?
I felt, you know, very connected because there's a lot of similarities.
You should tell the story of your grandmother.
Well, my grandmother's Jewish. But I, you know, sometimes I...
Yes! I knew it! I know it! Ding, 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 ding. I believe that every... You can ask Lauren. If you go back, I'd say 95% of people... We'll find a Jew.
Yeah, he's part of the 5%. Because we had to get the testing.
Yeah, well, look at him. Go.
We had to get the testing because I have like astronaut, like some, there's
you
some
have
kind
a little,
of,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to get
something
tested.
You got to get tested for the baby.
Yeah. There's five diseases.
I have a carrier.
No,
I have a,
like,
I carry something.
To test to see if
and they
Jim
had to test him.
Jewish blood, and I'm like,
and
I wish.
Well, you went to business school, so that's
he's a big Jewophile, though. He wanted the test to say there was one.
So wait, your grandmother, whose mother?
Dad.
Dad's
so,
mother.
Yeah, so that
you know that
off.
We believe that your father is then Jewish.
Yeah,
you know,
right. But
Jews.
I'm not. That's what. When I went to Israel, it backfired on me to have a Jewish grandmother because it was like I'm not allowed
you
to be buried
your
there.
Faith.
I betrayed my faith.
Well,
but here's
you
but
didn't.
it's really interesting. Here's
well,
what it's
my
a
grandmother
story.
Was a very secular Jew though. She
yeah,
was
I know,
very like
how,
she what, wasn't but, Orthodox.
Right, but what was her? Where when was she born? Just so I know.
She was born in France in the, you know, early 1900s.
Okay. Gotcha.
And she was probably
she was a French
married,
Jew. Wow.
Well, then, well, Alsace-Lorraine.
Right.
So it was German-French
right.
border. Grew up in, was you know, grew up in Italy, Germany, like the whole thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and
like,
she, what my grandfather,
amazing
this is my father's
story.
Side, who was a writer and a novelist in Germany.
So
in
your
Berlin,
grandfather, who
was not
Jewish.
Jewish,
but is probably Jewish since he's a writer and he's in Berlin. Go.
Well, and wrote anti-Nazi propaganda.
Was on Hitler's list.
SS hit list.
Oh, my God, I love
then
this.
And married a Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go in hiding separately to him and escape Germany. Through France and
right.
Was on like on a you know, assassins list
right.
because my grandfather was very vocal against the Nazis
right
and they were you know he was in big trouble because he published things against the Nazis and I mean he was a jerk but
he was also
like a womanizing like
book,
man of the 20s
his book,
right
he
of
wrote
course
a book when he was in his 20s
called Berlin Tenement
and it was used by the Nazi party to show the decay of the 20s in Germany. So,
what?
Yeah. So
oh
it was.
Oh my God.
You know how like the Nazis rose because of the libertine movement of the 20s.
Well, yeah.
Right?
If you read more, they believed okay, we need to eliminate these people because
yes.
we need this agriculture and they wanted all their land back and they yeah. wanted to get rid of yeah. So it's a yeah. So go
yeah.
ahead.
So
his what was the name of the book he wrote?
Berlin Tenement.
Okay.
It was
yeah.
called Berlin Tenement, but whatever the German
I know you just
word
said
for that,
that
is.
But I want. Okay.
It was translated into English, but
okay.
anyway.
I'm reading it. What was his name?
Ernst Erich Noth.
Okay.
Ernst.
Yeah.
Ernst.
Okay, so then.
So she was Elena Fels Noth.
Okay.
And so anyway, the point is that she was
separated.
An opera singer. They get separated, but there's a great story here, but I'll just briefly.
No, I love this.
Okay, so she was in the underground, right? So she was staying in some, like, church, right? Because there was actually Catholics who helped.
Oh, there
Jews,
are so okay? many, so many.
So she was staying in some church, you know, there was some Monsignor, whoever, who was hiding her in the basement or whatever. And my grandfather
Dominican. Yeah.
Who, not Dominican Republic, but a Dominican order.
Right.
So my grandmother would sneak in for conjugal visits. She had two little boys.
But, you know, it
was. She already had kids?
She had two little boys, yeah. And at the time. And so, anyway,
isn't it funny how, like, he's hiding from the Nazis, but he needs to have sex?
Huh.
Like
I mean,
Jim.
He was a dog.
Okay.
Like, I know about him, and he, like, had lots of, like, housekeepers and things
right,
like that.
Right.
So anyway, my grandmother, I believe,
was
an opera singer, and was posing, and a music teacher, and was posing as a housekeeper in this church situation.
Right.
Came up pregnant, but was living with priests.
They had to
move her before she started showing. So they moved her through the underground, and this was the Dominican order,
right? With the kids?
With the two little boys through Paris. But what happened was that she, because she was exposed to this Catholic thing, fell in love with the music of the Catholic faith. Did not, you know, she was doing a lot of music for the church and stuff
organ,
like that.
Yeah.
So she wasn't, like, I'm not saying she was, like, a good Jew. Like, she was a part of a very secular Jewish, like, she was Jewish by her identity.
Genetics. Yeah.
She wasn't, like, you know, practicing Orthodox Judaism.
Well, how can you do that in that time? I mean, like, they saved her. Why wouldn't she
but
feel?
I don't know if she was doing it as...
Her dad's name is Dom.
My dad's name is Dominic. He was born in the United States, but she was pregnant with him.
Yeah.
So when she came to the United States, she started working with, like, you know, organs and this and that, and doing a lot of the, you know, the Mozart and the Ode to Joy and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, wound up, you know, being Catholic, which really gets me in trouble in Israel. Because they're like, she didn't go back to Judaism?
Right. Well, you know, I studied music. I was a music major. And we did the Messiah. I mean, all that music...
That was her thing.
Yeah, and a lot of music was written was for the church or the church.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's a good Catholic either. She liked the music,
right? So that moved her.
Yeah, that.
But
moved
you
her.
Have to do. I hope you remind your kids that they have Jew in them.
Oh, he does. I mean, he's so proud of it. He wanted. He needed some.
I
some
love that
variety
now,
in his bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim.
Yes.
That's why I work with Judy. I needed variety in my bloodline.
Yeah. Whatever. So, did you hear a voice in the background?
Oh, I check on that. Sorry, boss.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Wait, isn't
some
that feedback?
Schmuck.
Did you hear feedback? What?
Some schmuck.
All right. So,
there's the.
You feel, Jim.
Yes.
I just want to say before I move over to the two of them that I have read that Jeannie does feel, even because she is a performer, writer, creatively fulfilled. You know, because some people say, oh, you gave up your thing. But you really didn't. You're a producer, you're a writer, and you control Jim. Basically, you
with
wind
streams.
Him up. Right. So you have five children, which is unheard of at this. You know, if you had six, you could have the Brady Bunch redone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've incorporated my children. What are you eating?
It's nicotine gum.
You smoke?
I did 10 years ago.
And he just likes the gum now.
So you... Did the doctor say the nicotine gum is bad for you?
You're
like Obama.
Obama,
right? You look like him, but he smokes.
I'm Michelle then.
Yeah, that's. I wrote that down. I swear to God.
I'm like, I relate more to Michelle.
Jeannie equals Michelle Obama. Look at that.
Oh my gosh. I thought you opened with Hillary Clinton, and I'm like, am I supposed to say something here?
No. I always felt like Hill and Bill had. And I wasn't talking about that part of the. I thought they were, you know, both smart and.
And she got the shaft, so it is
very similar. So anyway, I did. I wrote, you're like the Michelle Obama, because you know, when he gets home, she is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
In that voice.
That's a good impression.
Yeah, thank you. Malia!
Honey child!
I love her. I met her.
Yeah.
Like, if they were Jewish, I would have been, what are you doing? So it wouldn't, you know, right. It's not, So, but we'll never have a Jewish president. Do you think we'll ever have a Jewish president?
Yes.
Do you think we'll ever have a female president?
Absolutely. Yes. I think Hillary's going to be the next president. And I think if Hillary is not the next president, I hope that things happen where Bloomberg will be president.
I love Bloomberg.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I was a little hesitant. I'm like, uh-oh, what if Judy hates Bloomberg?
I love Bloomberg. I've met him many times. Now, yeah. I have a lot of questions about you as a family. Now, I began talking about my family. You know, I am a lesbian. I don't know if that offends you.
Ew.
No. Gross. Nope. Gross. So, and I, when I had Henry, well, my ex had Henry, and then I adopted him, and then I had Ben. Anyway, so, but when I had Henry, my act changed because I was a mom, and I had all this great material about, you know, how we would go out, who's the mother? We both are. How is that possible?
Uh-huh.
You know, and just this one thing when I was carrying him, right after he was born, and the baby Bjorn, and this woman was like, how old is he? I'm like, 6 days. And she was like, oh my God, you look fabulous. And I said, thank you. So, and then Sharon screamed at me. She was like, you know, outside waiting. And, but it's so like being a comic, you have to draw on your life experience. And right. So for me, I'm talking about being a gay parent, which I think was cutting edge at the time and also helped and hurt me. Which is fine. I don't care. I was never going to lie on stage, and I was never. But at a certain point, Henry was like, do not call me Henry. I talked about this with Leah. Call me Jerome. Because he watched. Yeah, remember that?
You have a joke on that.
Yeah,
so,
I haven't done it in forever. So, and he, Ben, my little one, loves it. You know, you can say whatever you want about him. But do you get letters from people saying, you know, you're exploiting your kids? Or, I mean, because everyone has a friggin' opinion about,
you know, that's it. When a lot of people say, like, you know, the short answer for what a lot of people say, why aren't you playing Jeannie Gaffigan in the show? A lot of people say that. Because I'm Jeannie Gaffigan, you know? And
right, but you're also you're.
Well, also, my kids aren't playing my kids. You know, right, it's like a reality show. It's not the Duggars. You know?
It's Duggars, not Duggars.
I don't know.
And Jim.
It depends if you're in the North or
South. And I don't think your kids are. You know,
it's La Duggar.
No, but it's the Duggars. The Duggars. But the kids are playing with each other.
Is it
Duggar? Duggar, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I've just read it. I don't. It's one of those words.
No, I know, but I read that. I read people always ask you that.
Always.
No. I think there's something really interesting because we live in this exhibitionist,
right,
and voyeuristic society, and so the balance of discussing your children in your act, or even having a photo. I mean, our kids are young,
right?
But And you touched on it. It's like being a parent is my identity, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to run away from
that. But he did for a while.
But I did. I was very kind of like, I don't want to post any photos of my kids.
But also, in the material, because it was like, he remembers being a single guy, and the guys would get up and start talking about, oh, the kids and the wife, and he's like, I can't relate to this guy.
Right.
So he didn't want to do that.
Right, of
course. But then there becomes a certain point where it's like, this is my life.
But
he did it from his point of view. Like, me, I mean, it shouldn't be about me, but I never wanted to be a gay comic. Like, I never talked to, I mean, it's like, I don't care. It's like, just, it's a part, it's who I, you know. But when it became when I became a mom, here's my life. And it's also, you know, you're a comic. You're showing people that we are so traditional, even though we live the most untraditional sort of life, you know? Everything is, there's no schedule. That, you know, it's amazing. I think you're so relatable because of that.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, but I think
because of Jeannie.
Yeah,
but Jeannie, you don't want to. Do you want mom and dad to go? It's like Lucy and Ricky, but you know, but don't. Does it provide you more time with the kids that you are producer writer?
No, and I thought that
it
would be the case.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. First of all, let's just get this out of the way. We did this pilot for CBS.
Yes, I
there
remember.
There was not a chance that I was going to play Jeannie Gaffigan on the show. It
of
was going to be like
not.
Wanda Gaffigan. You know, it was going to be a made-up...
Right.
It was going to be,
of course,
it was
a network.
It was going to be someone with like a million followers. You
right,
know,
right, of course.
They don't care about me.
Right.
Yeah. So there was not an option for me to play. We wrote the show originally that we were playing each other.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, for a different
that was
network.
The original
right.
Pilot.
That was the original pilot and a different network. But yeah. The point is that as I assumed that other role, I realized this is our life story. I can't give this to someone else.
Right.
To,
Jim mean, just looked at his watch and it pissed me off. Go.
No. You know, I got an alert on it.
Yeah, the Apple Watch has made everyone look at their watch while you're talking, and it's like, do they built in this root thing?
I got this. I wear my father's watch. I have a wind up. No, never. Go. Yeah. I'm never getting an Apple Watch.
So, but it's like people are like, you're like, am I boring you? Like, no, I just got a text. I'm like, why didn't Apple tell?
It's ruining people's brains. Go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the point is that I
Judy just looks at her watch.
This is like where I thrive is as a producer.
Right.
Like that's just.
Well,
like,
look at you, Orca. You were the head of a nonprofit. I mean, it's very detail oriented. It's so much work. You have to think of every minor detail. And you have five kids.
Yeah, I think that if I was acting in something, which is really fun and great, and also a lot of work, I'd like to be on someone else's show where they just give me everything.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm not, you know, that's not what this is about. This is the Jim Gaffigan show.
Right.
This is where my expertise is here. I'm not auditioning to be on another person's show.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, that's the story.
So.
And our kids' identities are not on the show. Like, it's. We have five kids, and they're not even the same genders.
Right. So now, what are you going to do when one of the kids is like, I don't want to be on TV. I can't do this. I don't want to go in because they're going to get to an age I have a house at the Cape, and Henry's like, I want to stay with my, I don't want to go, you know, they get to an age
they
where they, yeah.
Yeah. They don't live on the bus tour.
Right. What are you going to do?
Go. I don't know. We're just going to figure it out.
I always figure I'll be dead by then, so it doesn't
matter. He thinks he's always going to die.
This makes him not have to make any decisions.
Yeah.
This little snarky comment thing.
You know what? It's a lot of fear. No, but you know what?
Do you have fear?
Yeah, I have enormous amounts of fear.
Really?
Yeah, of
course. It's manifested in anger.
But you don't seem angry.
Oh, he's so angry.
I'm very angry.
What are you angry about? Because this is what the show's about. But
I'll tell you what I'm angry about. I'm angry that, like, just entering a building to do a podcast, it's easier to get into Israel if you had a Palestinian last name. It's like unnecessary.
I agree with that.
You know, I understand the reason for it. I understand that this is, this network, you know, it's a network, it's a news organization.
Right.
But I'm like, come on. It's just like.
Well, it's also. At this point, you know, I don't have an office here at CBS. Yeah. So, you know, I'll walk in and they're like, hi, Judy. And then I'm like, do I really have to show my ID again?
Yeah.
And she's like, I just called you Judy, so no. But I hope she doesn't get. Yeah, I had to show it. Anyway, but yeah, all right. So you have five kids.
Yeah.
And I have two. And I never thought that I would think that guns would be on my mind so much as they are now, having children.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know, you went on the road. I went on the road. A lot of us, I mean, I wanted to be a comic and I wanted to appeal to everyone. So I used to go on the road. And when I think back of driving at midnight in West Virginia, you know, and I didn't have any protection. I didn't have a gun. And I know a lot of the girl comics who were, and I say girl because we were young, but the female comics who were, you know, from the Midwest all had guns under their seat.
Oh, wow.
And I never did that. But it's such, do you have a weapon? You have to have something in that van.
No.
Okay.
No weapon, no car, nothing. But, you know, I use cars as a weapon. Mentally.
Yeah.
But so anyway, the point is that I don't know. I'm not funny.
Okay.
I think you are.
And so.
Hot. Go.
Oh, thank you. So I hear these things about these people getting randomly gunned down. And I do think all the time that, you know, it could be my kid. I think it all the time. I'm like, I could get a call from the school saying, you know, randomly someone came in and opened fire.
Right.
And
it's so.
And I go there, like, fast forward like years of, oh my God, I'm so sorry your kid got shot. It goes like, I have these flashes of.
What do you say? I mean,
I think, what are these people going through that they're just like, oh, by the way, your kid just like went to school and got shot.
Like, I can't believe that 20 kids are shot in a classroom. Well, 18, whatever.
Yeah.
And we don't, what the fuck? And yet, I asked Ben to go get Mucinex for me when I had a cold, and they wouldn't give it to him because he was under 16. Mucinex. I have snot coming out of my, and my kid can't get Mucinex because some asshole is making crack or whatever the fuck
they
do.
Yeah, meth.
And, but if he went to Pennsylvania, he could get a fucking gun.
Yeah.
You can make meth out of Mucinex?
Oh, shut up, Lauren.
No, but I
because
know
that's going
to
be the next thing. Look what I made. Look what I made. All right, go.
You don't know me.
I know what you're saying, but like, there's a lot of, and there's a lot of these things as a parent that you just like, you know, we signed up for it.
Right.
We signed up for
it. But this was in part, but also, you know, I just lost my mother. So I'm in the, do you have, are you both?
No, my parents are gone.
Gone. I remember that from, yeah. And you, it changes you when both of them are gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel like, okay, now I'm in this club. But when you become a parent, you're in a whole different club. And so I think before I had kids, when something like this would happen, I'd be like, oh, that's so sad. But now,
oh yeah,
you totally feel it so internally, like you feel for those parents. Like, it's fucking unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I hate it. It pisses me off. All right, so what else pisses you? Jeannie, do you get pissed off a lot?
Yeah, I am mad, and this is going to seem really minor after you talked about the gun thing.
All right, go.
But if you wanted something...
No, I want something.
I'm mad.
I don't like the wrappers on candy bars.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't like the wrappers. They're crinkly. No, this is what I'm angry about. I'm angry that school starts so early in the morning.
Oh, my God, me too!
And I'm angry about homework.
Oh.
I'm angry about homework.
I don't remember doing this. I mean,
see, I think you got they gotta do.
We have an argument about this,
but I mean, I never had to read, but like they get assigned like four books and a report over the summer.
Yeah.
You know, my kids
math.
And math.
They
and
have a math review book. That
but don't you think that like when I were growing up, that similar to the parenting thing of like, well, I'll see you at dinner. The school thing was kind of like, there was this transition to kind of like, you might be interesting if you read a book. And now they realize that none of us read the
book.
Well,
right. Look, I don't mind the summer thing. I don't mind them reading a book over the summer or doing like keeping in touch with their math review. I don't mind that. What I mind is that my first grader has homework. And I, by the way, I love the school. Sorry if anyone's listening. But it's... Maybe it's just because I have so many kids that my house is like school at night.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like I have to work and I feel like I need time with them. And it's like, can you imagine?
My parents would never fucking... I mean, like, I went in my room. I did my home. No one ever said, do you need help writing
that
essay?
Imagine this. This is my kid's day, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me say my oldest is 11, okay?
Right.
So I'm going to get the...
You're
going to
start getting...
None of
she's going to start being like, I don't want to go here and I don't want to go there.
No, I mean, I'm talking like term papers, right?
Yeah.
So it's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Rise at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Have to be out of the house by 7 a.m.
Right.
Okay, with all the kids.
Right.
So imagine this. You rise at 6 a.m. Judy, you.
Get up. I have to make lunch.
So you get up at 6 a.m. Whatever, you know, you get out the door at 7.
Right.
You get in your school at 7:30 a.m. You go to school until 3 p.m.
Yeah.
You have a half hour break. You go to sports.
Right.
You get picked up at 6 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
You come home and you
have
4 hours of homework.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
You don't have 4 hours.
No, so sometimes you do.
No, because you know what? Even if it's 2 hours, it takes 4 hours at that time
because
of the night.
Because it's like, and
because
they're tired.
Your brain is dead.
Yeah.
I'm slower at night. So I'm angry that we haven't figured out a way to do the school at school. Is there a way to...
Yes.
He disagrees with me. Is there a way to go a 15-minute review of what we learned at school in this subject? I don't mind the reading.
Ben, at the public school that you abhor, they do have...
that we couldn't get into.
Right. They have free periods for the kids to go to the library and do their work. They have a free. And he uses that time to do his homework because he plays basketball too. But... It is.
How old is he though?
He's 14.
Because he's like
planning it.
But like, he went to, you know, he learned how to do that. I mean, Delta, my kids went to this, you know, so much homework, like so much. And it's, I get it.
He gets it too, but I don't get it.
What?
I absolutely
I get that there should be some homework. I understand that.
Some. I
but
believe
not
some.
When you're like first through fifth, like you got it. It's, there's, the things
it's
they don't put
ready
here.
It's,
look,
it's
look,
getting
I'm ready. A fat guy. I don't want to work out, all right? I, you know, I have to work out a lot just to look out of shape. That's not fair. There has to be homework. Life
I understand
is very hard.
That.
Do you want to go to? Do you want your son to go to Indiana University, a good state school?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that maybe
there's,
the,
a hard school.
There's a lot. The, here's
the
other thing.
In the day, then put the figure out, because this is why I talked to another mother about this who had six kids. Because I'm like, how do you deal?
What in New York?
The, no, she lives in Texas. And she said, she's a radio show. And
right.
she said,
yeah.
You know, that's why I homeschool my kids. I'm like, homeschool? Mm-hmm. And that sounds so hard. She's like, it's much easier. She goes, if I went to all these curriculum nights, I'd be shooting myself in the head. And I realized, I mean, I'm not going to do it, obviously, because I have no idea what I'm doing. But that you
okay.
can design
First of
your
all,
own.
Those kids, I already know, are mental. If
no,
they're being
home- it's not.
I
you
don't,
have
I don't know.
I think, here's the other thing.
There
I,
are groups of people. There's teachers that come over. There's other kids. They're all.
I know, but
I think
like
it's
that.
Great.
That's great, Lauren. Lauren,
no one
Lauren,
cares
Lauren.
What you think, Lauren.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I
yes,
believe
ma'am, may I have another?
That there should be homework, but I think there's skills that they are not taught in school. Like they should be taught about money and how to deal with money.
Right.
They are yeah. not ever. No one in any public or private school. Teaches kids about the nature of money
yeah.
and that it doesn't grow on fucking trees.
No, we talk
but
about it all the time.
Did we know that as kids?
Well, we discussed it. My daughter recently was doing this thing where she was signing up for stuff with no consequences.
Right.
So she was like, I signed up for clarinet. Here's the places you can rent the clarinet. I'm like, who's paying for the clarinet?
Oh, I have clarinet. I play clarinet in the orchestra, so if you need one.
But all of a sudden, we're already paying for piano. I'm just telling you, this stuff costs money. You can't just rent. You can't ask.
Yeah, but they're not. Okay. That is a terrible fucking example.
No, it's
okay.
not.
Yes, it is. If it was like, I signed up for, like, you know, video games,
like,
that's fine. They
want
to sign up for clarinet and
she's
piano.
Adding, she's adding. No,
I don't
want to
pay
piano.
For the arts.
But
are you happy that that's what they're
living? Yes, I am, but I'm saying, you know, you're not paying yourself for this, so you need to come to me. You know, I'm the bank, right? I'm the
really?
Yeah.
So, oh, my God. I'm sorry. Here's my account number, and I'd like to make a withdrawal.
Well, that's all
okay.
I
like a withdrawal.
You can't just sign up for something without saying... You know, let's talk about this with my mom and dad. Like, how am I going to add another thing to practice at night? So you're already overwhelmed.
But you're yelling at her. But now, Jim, what do you say?
I talk to her nicely about
it. Oh, all right. Jim, do you say, great, I love that you want to do that. Talk to mom.
Yeah, well, I think the money is for the kids' education, right? So, but
oh,
that's,
please.
But
I
it's
agree.
Different than me saying, yeah being open to the clarinet, but I don't have to go and figure out how we're going to rent it.
Right.
But I feel kids are like, they just think that they can, she didn't understand. Like, I think it was a very
right,
good thing.
Right, but it's
I
also, but that's what they don't get. Like, that
they don't
should
understand
be taught.
That. I'm like, okay, so why, when you hand me this thing, rental thing, you need to understand that rental means money. So how much does it, you know, you should know what you're asking for.
But don't, all right, don't you think... Can we go back to the homeschooling? Because that freaks me out.
I'm not saying I'm doing
mean,
it. I'm
I
saying...
know, but you, I was, I always thought if any, I swear to God, I thought this when yesterday, I'm like, I bet Jeannie would homeschool her kids if she could.
Maybe.
But yeah.
I mean, I just talked to another mother with a bunch of kids and she said she can design the timing, right? So if she wants to start school at 9, she starts school at 9.
But that's not how life works.
Yeah, well, it does. When we're in our job, it does.
Right.
You can decide when you start writing.
Right, but you know, it's not. How are they gonna? They see that. They see that in you guys. That you know, it's not. Yeah. We don't have regular hours, but the world does. I don't know. It's like no, it's
take them on tour. Our kids maybe we're damaging right. by doing that.
But do
like,
you
the
get,
world doesn't work the way our life works.
Right. And I same with me. Yeah. Like I remember talking to Joan Rivers about it because you know my ex yelled at me because Ben used to wake up and every time I came home from a set, and yeah. she's like, "Who cares?" And so he's tired. He doesn't have to be in a fucking pattern.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So anyway, all right, so you do like...
You're so angry.
No, I'm not. You co-host... I mean, you hosted that late show, late. And you bring the kids out.
Yes.
Which was fucking hilarious. And all the things you do with the kids are hilarious. Mm-hmm. And we were in Montreal, the kids, hilarious. Yeah. Do they ever, are they ever like, no, I don't want to do that?
No, that's a great point. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. This all started with Jeannie's from Milwaukee. So I've always done shows in Milwaukee around New Year's Eve. So there's this small theater there and I do shows. And one year we had this harebrained idea because I used to have material about my kids and there was that they would sing this song. I was raised with this song, Gaffigan to the song Harrigan.
Right.
So G-A-F-F-I. And so Jeannie, being the director, organized the kids singing that. And some of it is, you know, kids are doing dance classes and stuff like that. It was just one kind of fun thing.
Right.
Some of it was so that they can see what I do for a living.
Right.
Some of it is so that they can experience what it's like to go on stage.
Right, right.
And so we did it. So we would do it once a year. Again, after every time we do it, it's very clear. Like, if a kid says, I don't want
to
do this.
They don't have to do it.
Like, they don't have to do it.
And have they ever said, I don't want to do it?
No, the only experience we had was on the Late Late Show, actually, the very first night. We tried to build in this. We flew to L.A. so that, you know, messes up a kid. And then we stayed at a hotel with a pool. So that was kind of like fun for them, right? But they were exhausted.
Right.
Yeah. So we brought the, and we had the whole thing. We're going to rehearse in the morning. Then our, at the time, 1.5-year-old or 2-year-old is going to have a nap.
Right.
Yeah. And then we're going to do the show at night.
Right.
And so what happened was, is that Foxworthy's show was right across the hall, and there was like 1,000 seventh graders screaming their heads off.
Yeah,
so my kid didn't take a nap.
Yeah.
So I had a kid going on stage who was like barely 2 years old to sing a song on TV.
Right.
Who was like a crab.
Right.
Apple.
Yeah.
So we had the kids go out, and he was like, no, I'm not going out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Jim was like, you get him out there, I'll beat that child.
Unbelievable.
But here's the thing. So
my daughter picked him up. My oldest daughter, who's awesome, picked him up and carried him out.
I know.
Here's the difference. And because Jeannie and I do discuss this. It's like, look, I'm going to be performing at Madison Square Garden, and I brought it up to the kids. Yeah. I'm like, do you guys want to open there? And Mari and Jack, 11 and 9. I mean, look, you can't ask a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old if they want to do
something. Well, what did they say,
Mari? And they said yes.
But now, I said no, because I can't. He's like, how about the kids perform in Montreal? And I'm like, that's my job. You know, now I'm.
Yeah, why don't you ask Jeannie? And then ask the kids.
I'm just like, I have to coordinate. Like, you know, it's a whole different thing when you have your kids on the set. Like, my 2-year-old is the 2-year-old on the show. Probably too old to do now because he's 3.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
you can get a young Asian child for that.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to make one of the ones that doesn't grow.
Right.
But it's like 30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good.
So, that's a great disease to have.
I know. What is that?
Funny.
Longevity.
Thing?
I don't know. It's it's a horrible disease.
Or the orphan, that scary movie, The Orphan.
Wait, I want to finish this, but I have to ask you another question. Hurry up.
All right. So anyway, so quickly, you know, it's, I don't remember. Oh, your heart. It's like if you're the mother and your kid's out there, it's not just your nerves and your job. You have this whole other thing going on where, like, first of all, you're like, don't be mean to my kid, but just like, you don't want your kid to mess up the show.
Right.
And it's like all this crazy.
But Jim doesn't give a shit because all he thinks about is fucking career. Yeah. You know?
First of all, them going on stage does give them a life experience.
Right.
But
which they've now had.
And they'll have really good college essays.
And by the way, it's not as if
Madison Square Garden.
But
he never discussed this with me.
Huh?
He just brought this up now in front of you. Like
no way.
Counselor. Yeah.
Oh my God, I
That's
love
not
it.
True.
When is Madison
December.
Square?
December 12th.
So kids have to rehearse. You know, is he running the rehearsals?
Oh my God, Jim.
I was complaining about homework.
I'll open
now
for
Now he's
you.
Adding a rehearsal.
Okay, so yeah, I know, Jeannie. You're going to get whipped on the way home.
Men are bad.
Okay, Jim. He's such a little boy, too, isn't he? He's such a little, all right, I was going to tell you, but you know you are.
You know, first of all, I call bullshit on her not knowing about it, because I know that I've discussed it with her.
It's absolutely not true.
I believe Jeannie.
I believe Jim.
Women are good.
You do?
All
right, Jim.
That's his go-to.
All right.
She loves men.
I do love men. But you're full of shit. Because I am sort of half guy. Like, I'm such a little boy sometimes. Like, yeah, no, I didn't do that. But, all right. The Pope.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of him.
She just says the Pope and looks at
the Pope.
Us like, go.
Yeah, and by the way,
because
don't throw that Pope under the bus. Because if you're going to say something negative about the Pope.
I'm not saying anything negative about I actually, as a Jew.
Judy loves the Pope.
I love the Pope. And I don't and I think that Archbishop set up that whole thing with Kim Davis.
It was her lawyers.
Right.
He didn't even know who she was.
I know.
The Pope
you
didn't
think
know who used.
And
I know that.
Everyone is using that against that Pope, who actually, but they didn't bring up the fact that he met with gay married couples.
You know what?
Well, he met with his someone who worked for him
to
who's
pray for
gay
their
and
sins.
His, I know cuz I read. People don't know. Yeah. They read bullshit. So, I like the Pope and I loved that so many people went to Central Park. I didn't. And felt spiritual. And he talked about what Jesus talked about, which is the poor. And, you know, not that any of them are going to change.
Other people.
Right.
Don't be a dick.
Right. And not. When he said, don't be a dick, I was.
That's biblical.
Right. So you performed for him.
I performed before him. I mean, it's...
But did he hear... Did he say, great set, Jim?
No, I met
did
him...
Did he say...
I met him after I did... I opened for the Pope Mobile.
Okay, so what...
Nice.
How many minutes did you do?
I did, I think it was 15.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Did you do any Yom Kippur jokes or anything?
I did a lot of Yom Kippur jokes.
Okay, so, Jeannie, you got to meet the Pope as well.
No.
No?
No.
But Kim fucking Davis gets to?
No, I sacrificed my spot, my meeting spot. Like, I might as well.
Tell the whole
matter.
Story. So they
I
said you
met
get
him.
Two
I
spots.
I mean, I was right there.
You get
I mean,
two
who,
spots,
who
and I said, and I brought Jeannie and Jeannie's mom, who, by the way, is like, she's already got early admissions to heaven. Like, she's that Catholic.
Okay. Like, she believes it. You know, she accepts it. She walks
I said, work. Jeannie, you and Wheezy. That's Jeannie's mom's nickname.
Wheezy!
Awesome.
Yeah. You go and meet the Pope. And then Jeannie's like, no, you need it.
I was like, Jim needs it more than I do.
That's amazing.
I was right there. Like, it's like if you were with your son, right? And
right.
you were like, he was like, I really want to meet, you know...
Clinton.
And you were right there, and you had, like, let's say...
It would be more like, you know, LeBron. LeBron.
Well, let's say it's LeBron. He said, I'm trying to second him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're denying him's reality.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Oh,
no.
Shit.
So anyway, so he says LeBron, and that's... you say, oh my God, I got my son into meet LeBron, but your son's the one who's next to you shaking hands with LeBron. You still met LeBron, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? But your son is the one who shook hands with LeBron.
That's fine.
So there
fine.
Was two handshakes. There was...
Jim and your mother and Wheezy.
And I just put Wheezy in front of me. And I said, Wheezy's got to do it. She's 70-something.
Yeah. So when you touched the Pope...
Yes.
Did you feel anything?
Was
it as electric...
Besides IBS.
Right. And was it... But like, was it equal to putting those two hands on the wall?
And the, oh, that yes. was powerful. And, I did that.
No, the wall when he was kissing you the first time. Go.
Oh, oh. Yeah, that's interesting.
We Wait, did you go to the wall in Israel?
Yeah. Yeah.
I sobbed. Sobbed at the wall.
Yeah,
go.
That's a powerful wall.
Yeah, go.
That's a powerful wall.
I have to
wall.
Teach in 5 minutes.
You
go.
Have to understand, none of the experience, and this is not false humility, is like I felt like I didn't belong. That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. I felt like this is very awkward.
Who asked you to go on open for him?
The Archbishop of Philadelphia. And so it was a very awkward thing. Look, it's like, I'm, you know,
I mean, you're in with, like major
prayers.
Showbiz assholes.
Yeah.
You know, who represent you, probably. And then the Archbishop.
Because you know why? People are happy that our show is not ashamed to say that these people have faith. The people, our family on the show, it's not about it, but in the background, there's stuff.
Right. So, like, when I did Celebrity Wife Swap, okay. Yeah. We had Shabbat dinner.
Yeah.
And I bet people appreciated that.
I think we looked like the North. And Elisa went to live with Penn Jillette, and they're atheists. And they
well,
essentially mocked
Penn?
Her. No, they were like, no, this is... And she was really upset. But I like that. Right. I do. I think that...
And by the way,
because
I
people
also
are like,
think,
oh, it's magic, magic
right.
God.
You know, that's interesting, because I think there is something about... I mean, that's why I love comedians. I mean, comedians, whether... I mean, look, Penn is a devout atheist,
right.
but and he's a magician. But, like, comedians, it's like, I have friends that are part of Occupy Wall Street. I have friends
right.
that are libertarians.
Right.
I have all these different types of people.
Me too, yeah.
Because we're misfits. And
right.
that's really what all human beings are.
Right.
And so it's like, I spent most of my adult life being an atheist.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's not...
it's what it is personally.
Right?
Like, whatever you have like faith
when
in.
When I think of Judy Gold,
Amen.
I don't think, like, oh, a devout, religious Jewish woman.
It seems
I think
funny.
Of, like, Judy Gold. Right?
Oh, God damn it, Jim. Love that.
Yeah.
I'm not devoutly. I mean, but it's a big part of who I am. And I like the traditions. And I was brought. Yeah, I don't know. It's just.
You keep the traditions.
Right. I like it.
Yeah.
But you also believe that there's.
I have faith. I definitely have faith.
It's a leap.
Like, do you talk to your mother? Is that too much for me to ask?
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Yeah, because I
say hi and, yeah.
Like, oh, what am I going through today? Like,
right.
It's like,
I said to Elisa the other day, because I had the worst day, I said, do you think my mother's mad at me? Because I didn't put her jewelry. I got some jewelry and I didn't put it away properly. I swear to God.
Yes.
Shut up. So I have to go teach. I want to talk to you forever. What?
I'm wondering when my pickup was.
Oh, shut up.
He's looking at his Apple Watch.
I'm fancy.
10:30.
Right. Wait, so...
10:30. It's
so you met the... We did the Pope. Did you feel anything standing next to the Pope?
Yeah, of course I did. I
and
did
no
feel
one
stuff
said,
the TV with that
Right.
Thing.
So wait, Jim, stop looking at your phone. Did you...
Yeah.
No one... Did anyone from the Catholic Church say, good set, Jim?
Yeah.
And also
yeah,
with
now
yeah,
we're well, getting invited to do all these. I mean, it's like almost too much. It's like, well, we're not.
Well, you know, you have to understand. Catholic, it's
you know?
Like it's a no. As a comedian, you know this. It's like there's certain things that are no-win situations.
Right.
So I was essentially performing for a million people on the Ben Franklin Parkway.
Right.
But
did
the,
you get laughs?
I got some. Yeah. But the area I was performing to was empty.
So it wasn't a back and forth thing. So there was like screens.
You understand
there
what
was
I'm saying?
Screens all over. It was like kind of doing it from
so, it was like people, you're like backstage and they're watching you sort of on a screen.
It's the equivalent
yeah.
of like say yeah. you're opening for someone but the headliner is not there, so everyone's in at the bar at Caroline's.
Right, I got you.
So you're there, but the screens are on.
I got you.
Yeah.
And so I was like...
Oh, like, oh, what's going on in that room? And they're all, okay.
People were texting me backstage. I couldn't even hear Jim. And they were saying, oh, Jim's on CNN. He's so funny. And I'm like, great, because I can't hear it.
Yeah. But it was
but
fun.
But you know what? I make a lot of money doing Jew gigs. And you should do the Catholic gigs.
We do, but it's like you...
There's no money in the Catholic gigs.
It's not about money.
Oh, the Jew gigs. They're good. And I can curse. Listen, we ask every guest this.
Yes.
And I know the answer. Do you think you know the answer?
Yeah.
I think I know the answer
to
this.
Yeah, I think I do too.
Well,
do
who
you
should we start
wanna
with?
Do you want to have
You're
a foursome?
Nervous
now,
this look you have.
Do you, are you guys on any antidepressants or any meds of that
I'm
nature?
Taking Benadryl right now.
That's not, that doesn't work. Go.
I'm on Prozac.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, I thought you weren't going to be on anything.
Me
Yay!
Too.
I love Jim. I love Jim. I love Jim, Jim, Jim. You know, that makes you gain weight, the Prozac.
It does.
I'm on the well-being
But you know what? I brought that up.
Yeah.
And, the well-being is better?
I brought that up, and the guy was like, believe me, it's very a small amount.
Oh, please. Like, don't you look at my fucking stomach.
He was like, Jim.
That's so nice great. Try. I'm so happy, Jim.
Yeah. No, that
it's
so...
hard being a comic. I mean, do you go into the depressive state or the...
It comes out as anger.
Yeah, me too.
Like, he'll just be angry at everything. And right. I'm like, did you take your Prozac?
The anger
Not
is...
Not knowing that it takes like 30 days to kick in.
I don't, yeah.
And I've told
it's
him
like,
that for
I
years.
I think it's like a, you know, a chill pill, you know?
Well, it's... The other thing is anger, it... What did my therapist say? It's displaced sadness.
It's fear also.
And fear, yeah. That's how it... Yeah, it's easier to be angry.
Me, when you're mean to me, now I'm going to have sympathy for
I've
you.
I've never been mean to her.
Oh, yeah. And right, oh, I got we got to go. All right, listen. Can I say thank you so much? I love you. I really... Will you come on again?
Yes, I would. I could talk to you for hours.
I love you guys. Jim, look at him. He's so annoying.
No.
Jim, thank you. By the way, I want to say... Jim's t-shirt, we have a sponsor who is so great.
Downstairs.
No, keep going, Jim.
We can
do it, but...
Later.
We're going to do it later.
I'm going to be...
I got to go
right
teach.
Down. Okay.
Oh, good, Jim.
Thanks.
Oh, that was Jim on the phone, because he's so important going to another podcast.
That was Steven Spielberg.
Ooh.
Wow.
No, it wasn't.
I know.
It was the driver.
I know. Thank you guys so much.
I can't thank
you enough. I adore both of you. And respect you, and I hope it's mutual.
Yes, and we're having you back on the show too. So
schedule. Wait, did everyone hear that?
You heard it here first, folks.
I really thank you for being on Kill Me Now, and I'm so happy Jim's on Prozac. If you saw the meds I took this morning, you would feel sorry for me. Anyway, Lauren, thanks for not talking.
It's my mom's birthday today.
Happy birthday!
Will you guys sign an autograph for her?
Oh, God.
She
shut up.
She loves you both.
Okay. Oh,
shut God. Up. You're driver and I have to go teach. Thank you all for listening to Kill Me Now. So long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.